Rod's Pulse Podcast number 23. Podcasting News, Classroom 2.0 and PodSafe Vivaldi.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back.
Hello, folks. Welcome back. That's a little section from The Four Seasons by Vivaldi, the Fall Concerto. I'll play the full piece at the end of my podcast after my sign-off message, so you can enjoy the rest of your commute or however you're listening to this. If you've been listening for a while, you'll know that podcasting is one of the so-called Web 2 technologies, along with blogs and wikis, etc. Today, I'd like to talk to you to bring you up to date on some podcasting news, and in the process, let you know how some Web 2.0 technologies are being used in the classroom, hence the Classroom 2.0. Actually, I borrowed the phrase Classroom 2.0 from another podcast. You'll hear a little more about that near the end of my program today. How many of you have heard of Facebook, MySpace, and Second Life? Actually, I just touched on them briefly on my podcast number 17 and 18. If you have a teenager in your house like I do, I'm sure you've heard about these relatively new social network websites. Facebook has been around for a while, but that's sort of passé now. Everybody seems to be flocking to MySpace. Second Life is, I guess, sort of the next generation, which includes a very realistic 3D virtual world. So stay tuned for more on this as we move along here. YouTube, I'm sure you may have heard of, that's a site that lets anyone upload their own videos and share them and get their own 10 minutes of fame. Actually, it's 10 minutes because that's the limit on what users can upload at this time, a 10-minute video. YouTube, the reason I mention it is that YouTube has just launched a service exclusively for U.S. college students. Colleges on YouTube will allow students to share videos that can only be viewed by other college students or faculty. And the key to this is that you must have a .edu email address. Now, about 100 colleges are currently listed on their website, and another 20 or more are in the queue, I guess, waiting to be added as they roll this out. So this is bound to be controversial. Be very interesting to see how this plays out. Now, speaking of Classroom 2.0, the Microsoft Design School of the Future opened recently in a working-class neighborhood here in near West Philadelphia. The school has a high-tech building. For example, the students have digital lockers, and teachers use interactive smart boards. The learning process, they emphasize, is based on Microsoft's management techniques. The city paid upwards of $60 million for the cost of the school, and Microsoft supported them in development and planning. Students, who are called learners, use smart cars. They register their attendance that way. They open their digital lockers that way. They track calories they consume. They all carry laptops, not books, and the entire campus has wireless internet access. Teachers, or, quote, educators, rather than using blackboards, use interactive smart boards that allow teachers to zoom in and out, draw and write, and of course, link to the internet. And as always, I'll have the URLs, links to articles or websites in my show notes. Something else that I've mentioned in the past that's close to home here at Jefferson is our continuing pilot study and use of Appresso Classroom in our own lecture halls. Right now, the first and second year medical students are recording, capturing the audio and computer output of all of their lectures here at Jefferson, and the content is posted to their Pulse course website. Pulse is our brand, of course, for the Blackboard system. I want to point out a couple of sites that you might find of interest, especially if you're a dyed-in-the-wool Mac person and are using iPods. Rodney McPhail, who's a faculty member from the Department of Biological Science at Purdue University, has started a blog called Pod Pedagogy, and he's especially interested in the educational uses for the iPod. It's a blog that covers news, tutorials, tips, and techniques in order to create online learning material for the web. He posts reviews, links to some news sources, and some other helpful online tutorials. So here's a fellow faculty member who is promoting the use of the iPod as an e-learning technology. In fact, I just visited his website, and he has a link to something I hadn't seen before. It's an easy way for folks to convert text that they might have on their desktop to an ebook of sorts that they can view on their iPod. So there's a link to that on the Pod Pedagogy website. Now, another interesting educational institution that's using iPod technology almost exclusively, it looks like, is GCSU. That's the Georgia College and State University. It's Georgia's public liberal arts university. Now, they've really embraced the iPod. They claim that they are the largest and most diverse users of iPod technology in higher education in the world. That's quite a claim, but they have a very attractive looking website. I'll have the link in my show notes. They're 100% wireless campus. They have something called iColony, which is a virtual learning community where members communicate with one another using the Apple technology and related resources like WebCT. Now, WebCT, of course, has been purchased by Blackboard and will be rolled into future Blackboard software. They have many different course-related iPod projects listed, and podcasts which capture little, these are enhanced podcasts that capture audio and video of testimonials from students and faculty. So it's quite an attractive website, and looks like they're really going full force into using the iPod. As I may have mentioned before, iPods are nice because the video iPod, for example, can support what's an enhanced podcast, where you see not only the sound of a podcast, but it's synchronized to video, which could be a series of PowerPoint slides, something hopefully that's visible on your video iPod. Of course, you can always watch it on screen. It works through iTunes, so you can see the video on a slightly larger screen using your desktop computer. So it's an interesting site. Please go and check that out. It's it's going to convince me to buy an iPod yet. You know, I've done all this. I've done all my own listening with my Trio smartphone, and I have resisted getting an iPod, but it's looking pretty attractive these days. One thing I've noticed in the news are two professional schools that are using podcasting quite a bit. They happen to be law schools. One is the law professors at the California Western School of Law are taking their expertise from the classroom to the iPod. They have a program called Law in 10, which is a series of weekly podcasts where professors provide legal analysis on current news topics. Each podcast is 10 minutes or less. Quote, although a handful of other law schools use podcasts for lectures and speaker events, we believe California Western is the first law school to offer a weekly news commentary, end quote, says David Bauer, Assistant Dean for External Affairs at this San Diego Law School. So, interesting use of podcasting from a professional school. Another one happens to be another law school, and this time it's at Harvard. They have a program called Cyber One, Law in the Court of Public Opinion. So Harvard's doing it. The law school in San Diego is doing it. So it's spreading to other professional schools, and we'll take a look at what other medical schools are doing in the future. So stay tuned on that topic. Now, I mentioned that I borrowed the phrase Classroom 2.0. This came from a podcast from WNYC, New York Public Radio, the Brian Lehrer Show, and he interviewed a New Jersey educator, Will Richardson. He uses tools like MySpace, which I've referred to as a teaching tool for high school students. Now he's urging other high schools to use social networking sites rather than just be afraid of them. And they had a very interesting, about a half an hour conversation with the interview with Will Richardson. And I'll just play a little piece of it right now.
One school in Flemington, New Jersey is doing just that. Hunterdon Central Regional High School relies on over 400 blogs in its daily operations, and its teachers use podcasting, wikis, and Flickr accounts with their students, all things that many parents never even heard of. Former English teacher Will Richardson led the push for this embrace of internet tools in the classroom a few years ago, becoming the school's first, quote, supervisor of instructional technology. He's now left his job as a teacher to help schools across the country do the same thing. He's the learner-in-chief of a company called Connective Learning, and he has a book called Blogs, Wikis, Podcasts, and Other Powerful Web Tools for Classrooms. And he joins me now to talk about how this works. Will Richardson, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
I don't think most schools have a supervisor of instructional technology position. How did you end up with that title at Hunterdon High School?
Well, basically, we were looking for a way to really get a chance to work with teachers to integrate technologies more on a one-to-one basis. And this was one way that Hunterdon Central decided to go. But really, there are a lot of technology educators out there now who are starting to work with teachers more in the classroom rather than just supporting kind of the network side and the hardware side.
So when you say Hunterdon High School uses 400 blogs, what does that mean?
Well, basically, a weblog, for people who may not know, is just a new web tool that allows for really easy online publishing. And what I started when I was teaching English about 5 years ago was using blogs in my journalism and literature classrooms as ways for kids to publish their work and also to archive their work, kind of make digital portfolios of the things that we were doing in class. And so that's kind of grown and grown out into about probably a quarter of our teachers and students at some point or another will use one or more of those types of tools.
So Will Richardson is doing some very interesting things. Please go ahead and listen to the full interview. The link will be on my show notes. And I think we can learn something from our K-12 folks. Some of them are really stepping up and using some of this educational technology to the best advantage. So that's it for my episode today. And following is my sign-off with some contact information to give me feedback, and I hope you do. And just after that, you'll be hearing the rest of, or I should say the entire fall movement from Vivaldi's Four Seasons. So enjoy. I'll see you next time.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.